It's the Nachum Segal Network, and welcome to Buy the Book, a segment we do courtesy of our friends at Koren Publishers in Jerusalem. And we thank them for this opportunity. They're always providing interesting material and fantastic guests for us on a regular basis, on a weekly basis here at the Nachum Segal Network, and it's much appreciated. Today, the book we're going to be exploring is a Toby Press release, which is part of the Koren Publishers imprint. You can go to tobypress.com, T-O-B-Y, press.com for information. The book is entitled From the Wilderness and Lebanon, Asael Lubutsky, an Israeli soldier's story of war and recovery. It's a brand new translation of his Hebrew bestseller, and we get the opportunity to speak with him here at the Nachum Segal Network. Asael, shalom, and welcome to the Nachum Segal Network.
Shalom, Rav Nachum. Great to speak to you. Hello.
A pleasure to speak with you. When did the book come out in Hebrew? How long ago?
The book came out in Hebrew more than 7 years ago, in the end of 2008. And now it's been published in English.
That was very close to the time that that you had served, obviously. The war we're referring to in Lebanon was in 2006, correct?
Exactly. And the book was published about 2 years and some months after the end of this war, which I was injured in.
I don't know if this is a difficult question for you to answer. Why did the book in Hebrew become such an important book? Why was it lauded as being so vital and ended up becoming such a big bestseller? What was it about the book that made it so popular?
As you said, it's going to be hard for me to answer to this question. I can try to say from my perspective, I tried to write the book. Actually, it not began as a book, it began as a diary, but when I started to publish it, it was written by my own perspective as a soldier, as a commander, as an officer in the Golani Brigade, in the IDF. I think that many of the people in Israel, the citizens and others, like this view, not interpreting all the war and the political affairs around it, but the view from a commander, a junior commander in the battlefield, talking about fighting in Gaza, fighting in Lebanon. How do you get warm hugs from the people in Israel when you get into battles? How do you get the strength from your soldiers? How you fight back? How you injure yourself and then try to rehabilitate yourself? Maybe this view, not thinking so much about the good or bad thing in the war, but more about how we the soldiers had it and how we fought there. People instead like to read that. If you find this way of writing about the war and not all the big stuff from the politicians.
You served both in Gaza and in Lebanon?
Actually, yes. We were called to fight in Gaza just after the capture of Gilad Shalit. That was in June 2006. We served there for a few weeks of fighting in Gaza. 7 of my soldiers were injured there. And while fighting there, another war emerged in the north. So we are called after fighting there about a month in Gaza to continue fighting in Lebanon. So we had like fighting in both places in 2 months, 1 month in Gaza and another one in Lebanon.
And when you say 7 of your soldiers were injured, how many soldiers are you supervising? I mean, you're in charge of 50 or 500 or what number?
I was supervising about 30 soldiers, a platoon in the Golani Brigade. It's an infantry brigade in the IDF. And I was one of the platoon commanders there.
Asael Lubutsky is with us. From the Wilderness in Lebanon is the translation of his Hebrew bestseller. This book is now out on Toby Press, TOBY Press.com. So you survived, thank God, at that time without injury in the Gaza experience, right?
Exactly.
And then you go to Lebanon and explain to our audience what happened.
Well, we came to Lebanon. At first, we knew it was going to be a little bit more tough because in Gaza, it's not easy to fight, of course. But at least we knew the area. It's very close to the border when you fight. Lebanon was, for us, back then, a new place to fight in. And in the first battle we had there was in the Battle of Bin Jebel. It was the hardest of all. We fought for more than 10 hours in the middle of the town, Bin Jebel. 8 of my comrades were killed in this battle, and more than 30 were injured. And one of the most famous stories was of my commander, Major Roy Klein, the deputy commander of the 51st Battalion, where I served. And when we started to fight there, actually, well, the one who started the fighting was an elite platoon, led by Amichai Merchavia, my close friend. And when after they came into Binzvel, they saw some terrorists there, Hezbollah terrorists in the yard, just near there. Started to fight back against them, they striked and killed some of the terrorists. And then Amichai led his troops into this yard, fighting against the terrorists. But suddenly the terrorists threw some grenades, and most of the guys there were injured. Medzoroi Klein started to help them. He threw some grenades over the wall, then entered this yard and trying to evacuate the wounded soldiers. Just when trying to evacuate Amichai, they put him on a stretcher. Four of the men were holding the stretcher. One of them was also Roy Klein himself. A hand grenade was thrown into this yard, falling maybe about a feet from Major Roy Klein. He decided to sacrifice his own life in order to save his soldiers. Roy Klein jumped on the grenade. The grenade exploded, and Roy Klein was killed there after a short while. He was a true hero, and I'm sure even after he was injured severely in this battle, he was still alive for a short while, and he could, in his last strength, he spoke in the radio. He tried to give command to another guy there, gave his personal radio device to another guy, cried Shema Yisrael, and was killed there in the middle of Binzvel, Lebanon.
And ended up being a hero, recognized by everybody in Israel for his incredible heroism.
Yes, Roy Klein was a great man. I knew him when he was alive. He was a great man, a true hero, a man that you can go after and believe that he will defend. And after his death, as you said, became a true hero also in the entire state, maybe in the world. We came in, my troops, to try to evacuate the wounded soldiers from this battle and also dead bodies. When I got the mission, I didn't know the names of the fallen. I knew that Roy fell, but didn't know the other names. I tried to call and speak in the radio to Amichai, my close friend, but to no avail. I ordered my guys to come into this area, each couple to take a stretcher and start this evacuation mission from Binzvel to Israel. After a few paces, I wanted to lead this line. I decided to take one of the stretchers. I took the stretcher on my back. One of my guys was holding from the other side. And after a short while, I saw that the body wasn't tied well on the stretcher. I told my men to halt for half a minute. We put the stretcher on the ground, untied the knots, and tied again the dead body on the stretcher. While doing this, the blanket who covered the dead body suddenly fell. And to my horror, I saw that I'm holding the head of Amichai Merchavia, my close friend. I was there in the middle of Binzvel. I will never forget this moment. But I knew back then that even though I'm now in such a severe condition and emotionally, I still have 25, 30 soldiers behind me. I have to lead. I have to continue fight. I have to navigate the right way from this battlefield to the Israeli border. And in those moments, something will change in yourself, maybe forever. If you get the strength from your men, from your belief, from God, to continue fighting and continue leading your soldiers in those battles in Lebanon.
Wow. I can only imagine. I don't even know if I can imagine. Ariel Lobotsky is with us. From the Wilderness and Lebanon is the name of the book, An Israeli Soldier's Story of War and Recovery. At what point during that war did you get injured?
So exactly 2 weeks after the Battle of Binzvel, in 15 of Av, Tu B'Av, 9 of August, almost 10 years ago, we came in, our troops again, in a different way to the same area of Binzvel. We came in a line of armored vehicles, tanks and APCs. I was third in line with my soldiers in my APC. After about 2 miles of riding into Lebanon area, I heard in the radio that the commander who leads this line wasn't sure about the right path to enter Binzvel. I tried to help him, so I opened my cabin and took my upper body out of the APC. That way I could see very well the area, even though I didn't have any shield to help me if anyone shoots us. After a second or two, maybe I talked a few words in the radio, So then he saw from a distance, and it looked to me like a huge flashlight, and then a ball of fire approaching our line. In the first second, I wasn't sure if they were shooting me or other vehicle. I didn't have time to think about it. After a second or two, this anti-tank missile hit my armored vehicle, penetrated the armor, and I felt like a huge explosion in the vehicle, something like burning me from the bottom part of my body to the upper part. I yelled to both of my soldiers that they're okay. They answered me that they are functioning. I ordered my gunner to continue fighting, to fire on the terrorist. My driver tried to stop the vehicle. I spoke in the radio, but in the company radio, but no one heard me because the radio was exploded from this missile. The other guys from my company tried to help us. Actually, in the first minute, they didn't know who was the one who was injured, and they tried to call in the radio, but I was the only one who didn't answer. So they answered that I was the one who was injured. So one of the other officers came with his troops closer to us. I yelled to him not to come from the back door because all the bags were back there, all the weapons were exploding there, everything was on fire. The only way to take us out was from the upper part of the vehicle. And those men, my fellows, didn't hesitate. They jumped on the armored vehicle. Even though everything was on fire, the terrorists were continuing to fire on us with anti-tank missiles and gunners. But he didn't hesitate. He jumped on my vehicle, pulled me out with another soldier, put me on a stretcher, and they took me downhill in order to try to evacuate me from the burning vehicle. Both of my soldiers were injured, but they were better in better condition than mine. They were in moderate and mild condition. I was put on a stretcher, and while they took me down, suddenly I felt that my right leg is actually falling out of the stretcher, kind of like falling apart. Yes. I saw that my leg was almost not attached to me. I yelled to one of my men to hold my right leg, put it back on the stretcher. I was sure at the moment that I lost my right leg, hoping that my left leg will survive. They took me down into a tank. There I got a first medical care and two tourniquets where I put my foot on my thighs. In the vehicle, this tank, I started going back to the Israeli border. A helicopter who came into evacuate us couldn't land in Lebanon because of the heavy fire, decided to take me to the border. Then on the border waited for me a special crew team of doctors and medics to try to help settle my condition. In that part, you know, because the doctors are reserve forces, they could be, you know, physicians from any hospital, from any department. So I always say that I could have gotten a neurosurgeon, maybe even a gynecologist, but I got two physicians. I got one who was an orthopedic surgeon, the other one who was a vascular surgeon.
Wow.
Lucky, but I would order them if I can. Wow. And they tried to settle my condition. They even put the tourniquets below my knees and not above the knee, thinking that if I'm stable enough to speak now in the Israeli border, I have about more 15 minutes of riding in the helicopter to the hospital. So they probably, I would be amputated below the knee, not above the knee. It's going to be better functioning later. And it was risky because once you open those tourniquets, you lose some more blood. They were skilled physicians, and so they did, and then they put me on the helicopter. To my relief, I saw that both of my soldiers were with me in the helicopter, so I knew that both were alive and functioning. The helicopter took off from the Israeli-Lebanese border straight to Rambam Hospital at the north.
Wow. And it was, in fact, one leg, right? It was one leg that was injured.
Actually, both of my legs were injured severely. The right leg both were injured severely. My right leg was partly amputated, and later on I had many, many surgeries, about 15 surgeries, in order to give some function to it. But my left leg was also severely damaged, not as bad as my right leg, but both were injured, and I also had many shrapnels and burns in all over my body. I had hundreds of shrapnels in my legs, hands, face, and many, many burns.
At what point? Speaking with Asa Lubotsky, at what point do they brief you as to what has happened to your legs? You know, all this is conjecture, and the doctors in the field are, you know, trying to do their best. You're being flown to the hospital. You're wondering what your fate is and what's going to happen. At what point, you know, are doctors able to evaluate, okay, this is what happened and this is what's going to happen?
So at the point that they knew better about my condition, I was not available to speak with them, because I was, after in the operation, the first operation took many, many hours. I got like 9 blood infusions. Another one, I was in the ICU, unconscious. At that point, my physicians in Rambam understood pretty well what's going on with my legs and what is my condition. They spoke to my parents, who later on came to the hospital, but I was not available, as I said, to be told what's happening. I do remember after about 3 days unconscious in the ICU, they woke me up eventually. And, you know, when you wake up after so many days in the ICU, in the beginning you don't understand anything that goes around you. My father tells that he told me after a few seconds that I was speaking to, to him that my right leg is, most probably will be saved. Actually, it was not yet sure at the time, but I didn't really probably understand what he's saying. I got sleep again. And then later on, maybe a day after, I woke up and I pretty much remember everything from the point. And then I understand that what happened. I firstly asked about my shoulders. I heard that they are both in the hospital in a stable condition. I asked about the mission, my other guys, Maxilin. Maxilin was with me in the armored vehicle and told me that they even have them right there. Then we start to understand that you're beginning a new war. It's different. I realized that from the beginning, once the helicopter took off from the border, I started to understand that I'm starting now a new war. Not a war against terrorists, not a war that you fire back and strike and evacuate soldiers, but a whole different one, a war of rehabilitation. A war that started almost 10 years ago in many ways continues on a daily basis. It's a war against the pain, the surgeries, the war to come back to life, war of rehabilitation.
How long does that war take?
Well, there is no end point. As I said, maybe I'm still in this war, but at least the times in the hospital, I can tell I was inpatient for 8 months. I was hospitalized for 8 months in a row for my injury in Rambam Hospital, then in Sheba Tel Shomer. After that, I had another more 6 months of rehabilitation on a daily basis, but sleeping at home. And after that, more than in 1 year, almost a year and 14 months of being in the hospital, I started took up studies in the university, and I still went to physical therapy and did many, many treatments, but at least I was a student who does physical therapy and not an inpatient, not a patient who goes at night to see other people. Changed my position.
How old were you when you were injured first?
I was injured when I was 23 and a half years old, almost 10 years ago.
Wow, unbelievable. When you were in Lebanon, you'd be away from home for how long? I mean, as the war is going on, it's indefinite, right? You could be away from home until the enemy decides that you're not, right?
Exactly. You can be away for a long time. In our case, it'd be a long time out of home because of loss of support in Gaza and then in Lebanon. We did have one chance to go home in the middle of the war. The only time we had half a day off was 3 days after the Battle of Bin Jebel, when we completed to evacuate all the bodies. Our senior officers in the Golani Brigade decided that all the soldiers will get a 20 hours leave from the IDF. To go to give condolences to the bereaved families and to meet wounded soldiers. It was on a Motzei Shabbat in the night. I remember that I came home like maybe 2 a.m. My parents picked me up from the Tel Aviv area. I live in Gush Etzion near Yerushalayim. And I went the morning after to the Eli town in Benjamin to see Sarah, the widow of Major Roy Klein and her sons. and to meet the Amichai family, the parents and the siblings of Amichai, my friends who were killed in Lebanon. I won't forget sitting there with some of my officers from Golani in the house of Merchavia, and his father, Amichai's father, Moshe, looks at us, raises his eyes and tells us, "You, the commanders of Golani, have to continue the missions of Roi and Amichai and the other guys and their soldiers in war." That's what he says a few days after he buried his son. "There are casualties, that is part of war, but you have to continue and accomplish their missions. I urge you to go back there, give the power to your soldiers, continue fighting."
Wow.
When you hear those words from a great family, you know there's no other way. You have to find all your power, all your energy, go back and lead your troops back to Lebanon.
Asa Lubutsky is with us from the wilderness and Lebanon, an Israeli soldier's story of war and recovery. A Toby Press release, translation of the Hebrew bestseller. What's the Hebrew book's title?
In Hebrew, it's called Min HaMidbar VeLevanon. Actually, the same words from the Torah.
Now I understand it. Now I understand why the literal translation makes a lot more sense. So that eight-month battle of recovery starts. That's the first 8 months before you're even able to go home and start physical therapy as an outpatient, correct? And at what point are you able to, at what point do you feel like you can, you know, go through life with a difficulty, but you know you're back on your feet, so to speak?
So I think there are a few stages. Maybe the first one I feel like this big accomplishment is made is about 6 months after my injury. For the first time, I stand on my legs and walk. Well, saying that, it's not so accurate because I was standing with my both hands, with many, many metals and devices holding them, with some aid of crutches and the aid of my father and my physical therapist. Altogether, I saw again the life from the height of more than 6 feet, and not from a wheelchair. So I finally felt that thing has been changed. I looked on the bright side of life. I'm now having a huge challenge, but I'm approaching the goal. And every day is coming. I'm taking another step, and literally saying, and getting better. The next stage, maybe I felt was very much significant, is once I was discharged from the hospital completely. That was, as I said, about 14 months after my injury. And at the same week, I took up studies in the Hebrew University, starting medical school in Jerusalem.
Wow.
So then I felt I'm becoming, as I said earlier, a student and not a patient.
What line of work are you in now?
I nowadays work as a physician in the Shaare Tzedek Medical Center in Jerusalem. I'm a first-year resident in the pediatrics ward. And love the work, treat my patients, have many challenges, but love them.
Do people seek you out? Do people who've had leg injuries, do people who have had either through accidents or through acts of war, do they seek you out and look for your advice when, unfortunately, soldiers and civilians suffer through the same type of thing?
Yes, I'm involved in some of those, like, I won't say clubs, but some of the meetings. And many times I get phone calls and people ask me to give advice, to say from my experience. As myself, when I was I would call it maybe a junior injured soldier, many soldiers who are injured in the recent years also came to me and told me what they have done and gave me some faith and gave me some energy to continue. So I tried to kind of give it back. Then in many kind of hospital, sorry, because in the hospital I walk in the past almost 9 years with the crutches. So many people who don't even know me previously can see that I'm a physician, works with the crutches, ask what happened, and then have like many times I feel that I have some different way, a different approach to get into my patient's life, and people ask about it and they kind of get more involved because you feel that we're all in the same boat. It's happened many times after the Tzuk Eitan war in Gaza, protective aid, the UNAFPA. And some of the soldiers were meant to live there in the hospital, so I kind of see the symbols of the coins in a way, patient and also the doctor. But I try to give, as I was given those good advices and motivations of people who already overcame injuries, to do the same thing, to try to help the young wounded soldiers and whoever has disabilities or injuries.
Unbelievable. Finally, how much does attitude have to do with this recovery? How much does the does trying to remain as positive as possible help as you're going through all this?
I believe that a positive way of looking at life and a way that you approach those challenges is one of the majorest ways to overcome challenges. And I think it's correct in general issues, but of course, when your challenge is physical, I mean, you know, many people overcome injuries, motor vehicle accidents, any other diseases. I feel it on a daily basis in my work in the hospital. But what makes difference is not your challenge, but how you overcome it, how you approach it. I say it many times when I give talks, and I really believe it. But, you know, we all have challenges in our lives. Maybe one of my challenges is so much visible. When I enter a room, people can see that I'm challenged physically. I have crutches in my hands. But we all have challenges. And as I said, the question is not what is a challenge, but what do you do with your challenge. And I believe that the key for recovery from difficult injuries and difficult disabilities is to stay with your head above the water, to stay positive, to believe that you can overcome the challenge and to come better. And also by the list, you got that if you have the challenge, you also have the key and the power to overcome it.
No question about it. Dr. Asa Elubotsky, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the translation of your big book. It's called From the Wilderness in Lebanon, an Israeli Soldier's Story of War and Recovery, a Tobi Press release. Todah rabah, kol hakavod to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Asa Elubotsky, From the Wilderness in Lebanon, the translation of his Hebrew bestseller, an Israeli Soldier's Story of War and Recovery, an absolutely incredible story and an unbelievable lesson. There are many lessons to be learned from this incredible book. You're listening to the Nachum Segal Network. Buy the Book is brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers. Go to tobipress.com for information about this amazing selection from the wilderness in Lebanon. tobipress.com, TOBY press.com. And my thanks to Koren Publishers and my thanks to Dr. Asa Elubotsky. This is the Nachum Segal Network.